As the spread of COVID-19 expands, social distancing is more important now than it ever was before in flattening the curve. But how can parents make sure their kids are social distancing in healthy ways? Janet Frick, an associate professor for the Department of Psychology, speaks with us about what things to keep in mind during these isolated times. Thank you so much for taking a few moments with us.
Thank you for having me.
As we move into self-isolation and overall socially distancing ourselves, this means a lot of our socialization and interacting is moving online. Now, some have said that online interaction, which has been going on for years, especially in millennial and Gen Z culture, is less meaningful than interacting in person. Is there anything to that? Or are online interactions about the same as face-to-face interactions?
That is a great question, and I think one thing that can be helpful to keep in mind is that long-distance communication and relating has been part of our culture and our society for quite a long time. One thing to realize is that every mode of interaction is different, but you can have meaningful relationship building over different sorts of virtual mediums. So I think that we shouldn't be afraid of that per se, or think that online communication is going to be problematic, but it's really more a matter of thinking about what are the best practices and the best ways to build on continuing meaningful interaction, especially for our kids who may feel this social isolation a little bit more potently than we adults do.
Some of the culture online can seem a bit toxic, such as online gaming culture. Should
Yes.
parents be wary?
We can't simply say that, you know, online gaming is good or bad, or online interaction is good or bad. So much depends on the culture or the context in which that's taking place. And so there certainly can be toxic aspects of online culture that parents should be aware of. And I think as much as possible, it's helpful to keep lines of communication open for kids to be able to share what they're experiencing, and for there to be, not an over-reliance that kids are only having opportunity to interact with their peers through things like, you know, video games that are connecting them to people who they don't know personally. As an example, I have a friend who said that her middle school child was doing a FaceTime baking session with a friend every day, where they were each in their own kitchen, but they were talking to each other about what they were baking and connecting one-on-one via FaceTime. Now, that's just one example, but having a variety of different ways of connecting with peers would probably be preferable than just having one sort of, type of game, for example.
Well, how will this social distancing and reliance on internet interaction impact the development of interpersonal skills?
That's a great thing to think about, and so much depends on the age of the child. I think for young children, say before, you know, preschool age and under, they don't need peer interaction as much as maybe school age and teenage children do. They just need opportunities to play outside and to explore art and physicality. And they, of course, enjoy having people to play with, but they don't maybe need it quite as much. For school age and teenage kids, those peer relationships are really important developmentally. And I think it's important for parents to acknowledge that and to really realize that building in time for meaningful connection in whatever way their kids are able to is an important developmental need that should be attended to as much as academics and other sorts of things like that. But, you know, we really are in an unprecedented time in terms of the limitations that really need to be followed for public health. So I think it's as kids are old enough to understand why social isolation is so important, it's important for parents and adults to explain the rationale and explain, you know, for example, that asymptomatic people can still spread the virus. And so that this really is something that we all have to be in collectively together.
What are the long-term ramifications this social distancing could have on the development of kids in elementary or middle school?
I think in, you know, if this is a matter of a few weeks, a couple of months, kids will be fine socially. They will adapt and they will, you know, hopefully have opportunities to explore creative outlets and other, you know, ways of continuing to learn and be engaged. If this goes on for several months, it may present some challenges, especially for kids who maybe were already a little bit more socially isolated themselves. And parents, I think, should spend time thinking about how they can have outlets for connection for their kids, even if it's just something like talking on the phone to a friend, having FaceTime or some other way of being able to communicate. As weeks turn into months, this will be something we really need to think about.
What can parents do to facilitate home environments that are conducive to positive growth in their child or preteen that will offset any negative ramifications of social distancing?
I think that as much as possible, thinking about having a rhythm and a structure to daily activity where, you know, we're engaging different parts of our physical and mental health, having a time where everybody gets off of screens and reads or colors or plays board games, etc., will be important. Think of developing a new hobby, learning to cook, learning an instrument, learning a foreign language. Engaging our minds in various ways will be important.
Well, Professor Janet Frick, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, and best wishes to everyone for health and sanity during this difficult time.
Thank you.